I'm glad that's more. Ooh, ringing, ringing, ringing. Our microphones have had a rough week this week, so who knows what they're going to do. And I'm glad I can say through the depths of my heart, it is well with my soul this morning. Not because of who I am or not because I don't have any problems. I got problems upon problems, and I got problems I don't even know that I got. But I do know this morning I can lay my head down and know that I have a peace. The Bible says it passeth all understanding. It's a wellness that I know that no matter what comes this way, and again, I'm not making light, problems hurt. They get heavy, they're hard, get troublesome, but I'm glad I know one that's greater than my problems this morning. And listen, if we'll get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes off of the problems of this world and to put our eyes in this book and on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you'll feel that wellness this morning that no matter if it's the grave or if it's the cloud, I'm ready to go this morning. So we praise the Lord for that. Again, appreciate you being here this morning. Boy, I'm just excited. Brother Daniel asked me if I got any rest yesterday. I said, I think the Lord sent that rain yesterday just for me because I'd already had a list of stuff I wanted to get done yesterday. And I woke up, like I said, about 4 o'clock and it was raining. So I rolled back over and slept and woke up again and rolled back over and slept and got up and read and slept and read and slept and slept some more. So we did get a lot of sleep. So amen. 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 All right. Take your Bibles this morning. Boy, I'm excited. I am. Let's look at Ecclesiastes this morning. Two places we want to look at. Take your Bible and go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes this morning, over in the Old Testament there. And when you found there, you can find chapter 12 of that book. And then, if you will, stick your finger there and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We like to try to use the Bible around here. That's our goal. So we'll say more about that because it falls into the preaching this morning. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're just going to read one verse here in Ecclesiastes, if you will. Let's stand together, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. For you that do read your Bible, I want to encourage you, if you don't read your Bible, to read your Bible, study, read, devotions, and all those things there. We know here we have this great man, King Solomon, all that he's got, all the money, all the wealth, all the things that this world says that you need. And all through this book, we see him continually say, it's all vanity. It's vain, it's vain, it's vain, it's vain. And then we come to verse number 13. And my thought this morning is I want to look at the center of the Bible. I'm not saying which verse is the middle verse. I'm not one of these rhyme and reason guys. But there is a center line that runs through our Bible. And the Bible says here, Solomon, after all this looking at the world, looking at all the things that he had and all the things that he could say that he had or didn't have, he comes down to verse number 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And that's what I want you to see this morning. There is a conclusion to not just part of the matter, but there is a conclusion that we see here to the whole matter. And here's what he said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So I want to look at that thought this morning on the center of the Bible. And this morning on that thought that Solomon says here that there is a conclusion of the whole matter. And let's pray. Our Father, we sure love you. God, I pray that you'd help me this morning, God, not to run any rabbits, God, and Lord, just to keep our eyes on track this morning. I pray, God, that we'd die to ourselves once again, God. And Lord, I'm excited for some reason more than usual this morning, God, just a little antsy this morning, God, just to preach. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to slow down. God, just to give the Spirit of God all the room and all the workings this morning. God, help us to get out of the way, Lord. And God, I know this morning there's needs here. There's no doubt. There's people here, so there's needs here. And God, I pray this morning, God, from the pulpit to the back pew, God, and everything in between, God, that we'd just be willing this morning, God, to let you work in our midst. Lord, I'm sure there's some people here this morning that's not saved. God, I don't know who they are. Couldn't pick them out if I had to, Lord, but God, I know you know. And God, I believe you'll show them, Lord, this morning if they are. And God, I pray, God, that you'll do that. And Lord, I know there's several here this morning that are saved. They're excited about being saved. But God, I just pray this morning, God, as we look at this conclusion, God, that it would reaffirm some things in our hearts, God. God, help us, God, to get into the workings of Christ, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, again, God, that you just give us strength. God, I just thank you again for all that you've done this week. And God, I pray once again for that good ground, Lord, and that seed. And I just pray, Lord, you'll bless it, Lord. God, just be with our children this morning and all the children's churches. I pray that you'll bless there. And God, we'll praise you for what you're going to do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I was thinking as I was praying, I talked to Brother Maynard this week, pray for them. I think if I get my dates right, they flew out yesterday to Trinidad, be there for a week or so. Do pray for them as they're there. But Brother, most of us that are familiar with Brother Maynard, we know that he travels all over this country. He just came back from Washington State. He calls me a lot. I try to call him some. He's a very encouraging preacher to me. Excuse me. But he told me Friday, I think it was when I talked to him. My days are so mixed up. But he told me this, and he meant it out of a sincere heart. He said, "Preacher," he says, "please help me pray." He said, "I have never seen in all my years," and Brother Maynard, I guess, is, I don't know how old he is. He's been serving the Lord longer than I have. He's older than I have. He said, "I've never seen a time in the ministry that there's so many people discouraged, so many preachers discouraged." And he's worried for a lot of churches that he goes to because of what he sees that's not happening. And people are just getting so beaten down and discouraged. And listen, this morning, if we don't get our eyes on the Lord and we don't draw out of the well of the Lord Jesus Christ and we work out of the flesh, you'll get weary. But let's get our eyes. Let's purpose in our hearts, child of God, this morning, that we're going to stay in this thing. We're going to put our nose down, even when we're tired, even when we're weary. And just keep your head down in the work of God and press on for His glory this morning. So I just want this to be a help to us this morning. But here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon makes that great statement. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And we want to look again at that center thought. If you want to take your Bibles over, we just want to use that for a jumping off space. But turn over to 1 Corinthians with me this morning. I've really been reading this week through the 1 Corinthians study, and boy, I've seen a lot of things this week that I've never seen before as we study. That's the reason the Bible is so fresh. Boy, every time you read through it, every time you go through verses, you'll see things, and God will put things together like you've never seen. It's an amazing book that we have this morning. But as we look at this great book, most people this morning, if I was just to go up to you and know that you do read your Bibles, not saying that you don't know nothing by no means, because I don't know anything half the time, I feel like. But most of the time when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, the first thing I believe that comes into the mind of most saved people when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians is you're seeing the Apostle Paul dealing with the problems of a church. You relate that book as a problem of a church at Corinth having a lot of problems, and we have problems, churches have problems because they're made of people. But I believe this morning that's the backset of what really God's doing in this great book of 1 Corinthians. I believe there's something greater than what we see there. And again, most people look at that. And even if you want to look with me there, look in verse number 11 of chapter 1. It says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Paul's saying, there is a problem. And again, you and I need to understand that we have problems. There's always going to be problems, but it's not necessarily that there's a problem. It's how you deal with the problem. That's how we need to work at it. And so there is problems, but this great book of 1 Corinthians isn't just a book about the problems at a church. You know, it's easy to always look at somebody else, and that's the problem that really God was dealing with this church at Corinth, is most people always looks at somebody else, and it's easy to see everybody else's problem. Isn't it? And the problem is, most of the time, we think. And that's when you mess up. You don't know what somebody's doing. You don't know what somebody's going through. You don't know what's in the depths of the heart of a man. But we like to point those things out like we do. But we don't. And God's dealing, and I believe that's the gist of this whole book as you look at it, is God is dealing with man, trying to get man to get their eyes off of men and get their eyes back on the Lord and let God work in an individual person's life.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I got enough problems of my own that I don't need to borrow anybody else's. And I believe that's one of the greatest parts. How do you know that, preacher? Well, the book of 1 Corinthians is made up of 16 chapters. And again, most time people look at this book and they'll say, well, it's a book about all the problems that was in the church there at Corinth. Well, let me show you something. This is just Bible study right at the beginning, and then I'll get to preaching. Look with me over in chapter 7. Paul goes through 6 chapters. And you come to chapter 7, and look at verse number 1. What's the very first word? Now. Okay. Let's read on. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. The apostle Paul acknowledges that there is problems in the church at Corinth. They had all kinds of problems. They had problems with the Lord's Supper. They had problems with marital problems. They had all kinds of spiritual problems. They had a lot of problems inside the church at Corinth. But all the way from chapter 1 to chapter 6, Paul, through the inspiration of God, is dealing with the fact that it needs to draw into the part of an individual person's life that the need is for you and I to fall in love with Christ and follow Christ. And then we come to chapter 7. He says, okay, now I'm going to deal with the things you wrote me about. So for 6 chapters, God is drawing some things down. I like to use that thought. He brings us down to that place where the rubber meets the road. You know, we can talk things to death. But let's get down to the fact what the problem is and deal with it. And that's what God's doing here. So what a great book. And boy, one of the greatest things there's so many things that I'd love to look at this morning. But if you don't get anything else this morning, you need to highlight, underline, score verse number 9 of chapter 1. Why, preacher? Because you need to know this. God is faithful. This preacher, he wants to be, but he ain't. My wife, she wants to be, but she ain't. This morning, I'm not calling your name, but as much as you want to be, you can't say you're 100% faithful. Why? Because the only one that can say that is God. I fall real short in the duties that I have as a pastor. I fall real short in the duties I have as a husband. I fall real short in the duties of a daddy. But I can tell you one thing that I know in the depths of my soul this morning. God is present tense. He'll be faithful today. He'll be faithful tomorrow. And you can put it in your bank. He'll be faithful to you all your days. God is faithful. So we see as we look at this great book of 1 Corinthians, and the problem again is everyone's looking at everyone else. And I want to show you that real quickly. Look at verse number 11 of chapter 1. Look what Paul's talking about. Even the independent Baptists, a lot of times are so independent, they're independent of themselves. That's my saying, in fact. But look at verse number 11. So it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Again, it's a fact. Verse number 12. Now this I say, that every one of you, I like how God does that, every one of you, saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. You see the problem? There was division. They were saying, well, I'm of Paul, I'm better than you. Yeah. Well, no, I'm of Apollos, no, I'm better than you. Right. I'm of Cephas, oh, I must be better than you. And then there's the knuckleheads, God would say, well, I'm of Christ. See, the problem is, a house divided cannot stand. And God's drawn it out to the place where these men and women of the church were of the I nature. I. And Paul says, that's your problem. Great question. Verse number 13. Is Christ divided? And the answer to that is simply no. But I ask you this morning in our own church, not our church, but this is the church of the living God. This is God's church. But here at Gospel Light Baptist Church, you're here this morning. Are we divided? Is Christ divided? Well, I think this and well, I think that. And I understand, it's like I say, and people look at you funny when you say this, but everybody's got opinions. They're like armpits. They stink. Everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got an opinion. But this morning, we got to get back to the fact that we are part of the body of Christ. And it's a unity that must be to have the church that God wants us to have. And he asked that question, is Christ divided? Was Paul circumcised for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? What a question. See, he's dealing with the problem. Chapter 1 through chapter 6, all those things was drawing to the place where the problem was with people and their mindset of I. Verse 14 says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any more. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Solomon said that this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Man, this is a big book. I'm telling you, many people set out to read this book and have never ever finished this book. Some of us this morning say, well, I've read my Bible through X amount of times, and that's great. But there's stuff in this book, it just gets bigger and bigger and richer and richer. This is a big old book, and it's hard sometimes to get the dots all to look together and see exactly what God's doing. But I want to tell you something this morning. As big as that book is, and as deep as that book is, there's a center line that runs from page to page, from Genesis to Revelation, and I believe God draws it out here this morning in 1 Corinthians as he's dealing with man. Why? Because I need to know. And you need to know. And this morning I want to show it to you. It's nothing new, but I want you to see it this morning. Look at verse number 18. You tie verse 18 to what Solomon said there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that there's a common thread that runs through. And look at verse number 12. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. This morning, I don't know how much Bible you know or don't know. I don't know how much training you've had or not have. I don't know what line of education you got or how deep you can read or how good you can think. I don't know any of that this morning. But I can promise you this morning that if you'll take verse number 18 and you'll make that the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, I'm not taking away that you need to study your Bible. I'm not taking away the fact you need to read and study and dive into this thing and learn more and more. But don't learn so much that you get stupid. I know a lot of people that's ignorant beyond, or smarter than how that goes. They're too smart for their own good. You need to make sure you always run back to the basis of the Bible. And here this morning, if we'll get a hold of this number, verse number 18 this morning, and understand that I believe, and it's not just what I believe this morning, but it's what I believe the Bible shows, that this is the conclusion of the whole matter. From the time that God spoke into existence, everything that we see from Genesis 1 to the end of this thing and Revelation's there when he comes back and sets up the kingdom and takes out the church and all that stuff, I believe from that point, the whole stem of the whole matter is verse number 18. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let me show it to you this morning, and I hope you'll see it. This is some simple things this morning. The first thing I see here this morning, it says, for the preaching. Boy, don't we need more preaching. Hey, the church needs to get back to preaching. Hey, we got too many people giving sermonettes. Well, preacher, I don't like preaching. Something's wrong with you. And I don't say that arrogantly because I'm a preacher. Because the Bible says, look back down there in this same chapter, look at verse number 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. See what wisdom does to you if you take earthly wisdom? Look at verse 21. It pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching. Amen. What's the core of this thing? What's the center of this thing? God said there in verse number 18, for the preaching. Boy, I love singing. I really do. I love good godly singing. I love to hear somebody get up and really believe what they're singing. I like songs that tug on my heart. Why? Because songs that's about the Bible and about the Lord. I put scripture with song, and but it just does something for me. Hey, I love that song. That one song we sung there, there's coming a day. Hallelujah. I know. Why? Because that does something for me. I sat there, my eyes closed, singing that song, because one of these days the Lord's going to come get me by my hand and take me home to heaven. That song means something to me, but it would be nothing to me if it wasn't for the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says it's for the preaching. And God tells us in verse number 21, He chose the foolishness of preaching. This morning we need preaching. Your children need preaching. Your family needs preaching. I try to listen to preaching every day of my life. I've got it on my phone. I've got it in my car. I've got it at the house. I try to listen to preaching. Now, you got to be careful. There's a lot of knuckleheads. There's many times I cut people off because I ain't going to listen to it. If they're not preaching truth, I don't want to hear it. But today we have gone away from preaching. We've gone away. What's preaching, preacher? You don't have to holler and stomp and snort and all that. You don't have to be mean and ugly to be a preacher. Man, some of the best messages of our forefathers were by men that God put His hand upon. And they stood out in the middle of open fields and read what God gave them. It's sad. It happened at this church. People came to hear a preacher. And when they found out that preacher had left because of a family emergency, they left. I had another preacher lined up, preached a great message, done a great job. They came not for the preaching, they came for a preacher. God didn't say for the preacher, it's the preaching. So we need preaching this morning. And the Bible says to preach thee, and this is the key, I try to live by this, I try to tell people this, preach the word. So many times men this morning are going to get up across our country and across our world this morning and proclaim they're going to preach the word, and they never even read the word. You don't need to know what I think. You don't need to know my philosophies. You don't need to know my, and I throw in some things from time to time, just illustration stuff that makes things stick sometimes. But I hope I never get away from the fact that you ever leave this place and you say, well, what was he preaching about? Why? Because I know the importance of preaching. So the center, the core of this thing is God says we need preaching. For the preaching of what? What does it say? For the preaching of the church? The denomination? No, the preaching of the cross. Boy, I'm so thankful for the perfect Word of God. It's not the preaching of a cross. Why? Because you can study history. There's been hundreds and thousands of people that have died at a cross. But the Lord Jesus Christ chose the preaching of the cross. Because there's only one cross, and that cross was on Calvary's hill, and that cross held the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it takes the preaching of that cross to save a man, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl. So what's the core, what's the center of this whole book? It's the preaching of the cross. And it's not just any cross, it's the cross of Calvary, hallelujah. And let's move on. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Many, if not most, find what we're doing this morning foolish. See, this is the whole matter. This is the core. See, this morning, most, and you might be here this morning, and I'm not calling you a fool. I would not do that to your face. I'd not do that. But if you told me you didn't believe in God, I'd say you're a fool. Because I have authority on that one. Because God says that you're a fool. But the Bible tells us here the core of this thing is that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. See, this morning, the core of this whole thing from Genesis to Revelation is there's a broad way that leads to destruction. And most, if not, or many, if not most this morning, look at the things in this Bible, that preaching of the cross, and they say that's foolishness. They'll be educated in their own mind. They'll believe some craziness that's out of this world. But many say it's foolish. They'll say it's foolish to believe in the birth of Christ. They won't believe in a virgin birth. They won't believe that God would send His only begotten Son to this earth and be born as a baby in that manger. They say that's crazy. That's foolishness. If you believe that, you're simple. You're a fool. This morning, if you don't believe in the birth of Christ, I'm going to call you a fool. Because you're foolish. And the preaching of the cross to many is foolishness. Many this morning will say it's foolish to believe in the divinity of Christ. That Christ, the only begotten of God, would come. That King of kings and Lord of lords there in John chapter 1 and put on the flesh of a man. That divine one. Many says that's foolish. You can't believe that. Why would you believe that? Well, this morning God says you're a fool. Many this morning in our world, and maybe you're here this morning, you'll say this morning that, oh, it's foolish to believe that Christ would die for me. Why would Christ that doesn't know me die for me? I don't know Him. He don't know me. Why would it? He's been dead for all these thousands of years. It's foolishness to believe that Christ would die for the world. But that's exactly what you are. You're a fool if you don't believe in the birth and the divinity and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many this morning would say, and we've sung about it this morning, but many this morning would say, you're a fool if you believe the blood of a man could save a soul. See, most says that's foolishness. The Bible says again and again, I believe, The whole matter of this whole book for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Many believe this morning that the gospel itself, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ is nothing but a fool's tale. How can a man die on a cross and how can it bury him and how can he rise again? They say, oh, that's foolishness. But I'm telling you this morning to most people that today that hear the preaching of the cross, we'll listen to what they hear and they'll say that's foolishness. Again, the Bible says in Psalms 14:1, it says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. This morning, if you sit here this morning, listen to me real quickly. I say this morning. I say this morning, if you hear truth and don't respond, you're a fool. I say this morning to know the truth and do nothing, you're a fool. I say this morning, here in just a few minutes, we're going to dismiss, and I say this morning to walk away. Now listen to me. Remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and wanted to know how he could be saved. The Lord told him, do all the commandments and sell all that he had. And he said, when he'd come to the commandments, he said, I did all those things. And the Lord told him, well, sell all that you got and follow me. And that young man turned around and walked away. That young man was a fool. And this morning, you're going to have a decision to make here in just a little bit. And to walk away when you could walk too. You're a fool. So this morning, what is the whole matter of this thing? It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So I see this morning that first of all, it takes preaching. And it takes the preaching of that cross, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see this morning that the Lord shows us that there's a lot of fools in this world. But fourthly this morning, I see their outcome. Notice what the Bible says. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, or that perish, is foolishness. See, God tells us this morning that if you do not believe, if you're a fool this morning and you walk away instead of walking too, if you're a fool this morning and you hear and don't obey, this morning God says you're going to perish. This one little verse, I believe with all my heart, contains the whole matter from Genesis to Revelations. This morning God says there's a consequence. There's a price that's going to have to be paid. And this morning, if you're a fool this morning, you say there is no God, you're going to live your life the way you want to live it. I'm going to walk away from this thing and say, well, I've been to church, I've done what I need to do. This morning, God's calling you a fool. And this morning, the results of that, the Bible says, you're going to perish. What do you mean perish, preacher? He means one of these days, you're going to die and you're going to go to an awful place called hell. When this morning you could go to heaven. See, that contains the whole matter this morning. The outcome is that you perish. Oh, but I thank the Lord this morning. I got to move, but I thank the Lord this morning. That verse goes on. For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness. Boy, praise the Lord for that next little word. But. Thank God it didn't just end right there. Thank God this morning he went a little further. And he put that little word, but. And it goes on to say, which are saved. Boy, I tell you, Brother David, I read that. I got excited when I read that. It didn't say that I could be saved. It didn't say that I might be saved. But it said this morning, because of the preaching of the cross, because I simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can stand here with all assurity this morning and raise my hand to Almighty God that we learned about this week and thank Him this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ and know that I am saved from top of my head to the bottom of my feet. The Bible says, therefore, the preaching of the cross is to them which perish is foolishness. And this morning, if you die without Christ, you're a fool. But unto us, which are saved. This morning, how much do you believe you're saved? Well, I hope I'll get to heaven. No, this morning I can look at you and I don't say it with arrogancy. I don't say it because of my own thoughts or my own ability. But I can say this morning, the conclusion of the whole matter this morning is because one day I heard the preaching of the cross. I heard how Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for my sins and how if I'd call upon the name of the Lord, I would be saved. And this morning I stand here as a 44-year-old man trusting the Lord Jesus Christ with the depths of my heart, knowing if I died today or if the Lord came back, I'm saved to the uttermost. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. He says there, but unto us which are saved. How does it get saved? What a great book this book is. Look at verse number 21. I don't have time to read all these verses to you this morning, but it's wonderful. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that do good works, that come to church, that tithe, that do some kind of sacrament, that gets baptized. No, friend, this morning, and you say, preacher, it can't be that easy, but friend, this morning, it's just as easy as I'm trying to make it seem this morning. The Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to them this morning that believe. And this morning, you're going to go to heaven by one way, and it's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's simple belief this morning that gets a man to heaven. So this morning, I see the whole conclusion of the matter this morning. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Oh, this morning, some of you are sitting in your seat this morning. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're an old person this morning. And you're thinking, boy, he's a fool. Look at him getting up there hollering. Look at him getting excited about something that ain't real. Oh, friend, this morning I don't desire this for you and God doesn't desire it for you either. But friend, one of these days with that attitude, you're going to bust hell wide open. You're going to perish because you think it's a fool. But no, actually, you're the fool. But the Bible says there it's by simple belief. Can I help you a little bit, Bible students, this morning? People read these verses and they miss a lot, and I do myself. Let me show you something that's wonderful this morning. Can I show you this key to this whole thing this morning about salvation? Look at verse number 29. Y'all write this down, not because I'm saying it, but it's this Bible. Why did God choose the foolishness of preaching? Why did God choose Jesus Christ? Why did God do any of that? Why did God make that the way? He could have done anything. But he chose for his son to die for the sins of the world. Why? Look at verse 29. Remember what we read the problem was with man? Paul says, some of you say I'm of Paul, some say I'm of Cephas, some say I'm Apollos, some say I'm of Christ. Look at verse 29. Here's the greatest key of this whole fact of what salvation is truly about. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Listen, when I get to heaven and you get to heaven, we're on level ground, friend. Listen, in this world, you might have more money, you might have more possessions, you might have greater mind, you might have greater abilities, but friend, when it comes to salvation this morning, it's all even at the cross, and he did it, why? Because none of us would have any right to glory in our own self. Well, I got in because I went to this Baptist church and I gave X amount of money. That's the reason I got here. Well, I got here because I understood the Bible and I was a scholar and I was able to understand Hebrew and Greek and yada, yada, yada. And this other guy, some poor little old sap like me that come off a farm, don't know nothing. I glory not in what I could do or ever could do, but I glory in what Christ did in my life. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Look at verse 29. He says that no flesh should glory in his presence. But look at verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's what it's all about. So this morning, I see the preaching of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, I love that, it is, and last of all, the power of God. Solomon said, the whole conclusion of the matter is, and I believe with all my heart, you could take verse number 18 and you could draw it from Genesis all the way to Revelations. The conclusion is that Jesus Christ and his willingness to come and please the Father by coming and robing himself in the flesh of man and living upon this earth those 33 and a half years thereabout and going to Calvary's cross as that perfect sinless Lamb of God and shedding his blood there, and they buried him in that borrowed tomb, and on the third day he arose, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Friend, this morning, that's the power of God unto salvation. This morning, what power? It's so powerful it can take an old fat boy like me at 13 years old, steeped in religion, knew when to stand up, knew when to sit down, and draw me up out of that miry pit and set my feet upon a rock and establish my... That's the power of God. Hey, this morning it's the power of God that can take an old harlot there by the well one day and Jesus Christ speak to her and tell her about living water. Hey, it's the same power that took the Apostle Paul, that was Saul, that was walking down the road there one day as a religious fanatic doing what he thought was right in the religious realm, and God showed him who Christ was and said, aren't you tired of kicking against the pricks? And he fell on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ and cried out to him, and Lord, save Paul right there on the side of the road. That's the power of God. It's the same power this morning, if you're saved, that got you where you are. It's the same power this morning can take an old drunk, an old nobody, an old rich man and save him. See, this morning, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. That the preaching of the cross, either this morning you're going to take that preaching and you're going to be a fool and you'll perish. Or you'll receive the preaching of the cross and trust Christ by believing and be birthed into the family of God and have eternal life in heaven. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. So this morning, what will you do? This morning, do you... Just ask yourself, not me. Does this all sound foolish? Friend, I don't know if you realize this morning, you're not getting younger. Funeral homes are pretty busy nowadays. People are dying, the obituary columns are full. You're going to die. Then what? Then what? Don't be a fool. A fool is going to hear and ignore. A fool is going to walk away when they could walk to him. This morning, the fool, the Bible says, is going to perish. But to us who are saved, oh, the power of the cross. Friend, this morning, I hope it never gets old. I hope every time I hear a song about the blood, every time I hear preaching about the cross, it just excites me one more time. But this morning, Solomon said, here's your conclusion to the whole matter. And I believe, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 is the conclusion of this whole thing. They don't need to know what I think. They don't need to know my philosophies. They just need to know the preaching of the cross. What about you this morning? Are you a fool? God goes on, those verses there following talks about how God is so much greater than the wisdom of man. But do you believe this morning? Well, preacher, I've been baptized. I didn't say that. It says if you believe. There's a lot of people in hell that's been baptized. Preacher, I'm a member of a good church. There's a lot of people in hell today that were members of good churches. Well, preacher, I knew who God was. And there's a lot of people in hell today that really knew who God was, but they never really believed in Him. What about you this morning? Don't you want to know the conclusion of the whole matter? Don't you want to get some things settled in your life? And us that are saved this morning, have we lost our zeal? Have we got so cumbered with the problems of life that we've lost what God's really done? Let's don't. Let's stand together this morning.